Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, we bring you on an expedition through the depths of the movie industry to discuss the amazing, terrible, and amazingly terrible movies based on video games. Our hosts' entire lives are dedicated to a single goal. Probably. Answering the age-old question, do games make good movies?
I want to be the very best that no one ever was. Damn it, welcome to Video Game Movie Anatomy, where today we are reviewing the much sought after, much requested Pokemon, the first movie. I am joined, as always, by Miss Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hi, guys.
Give yourself a little bit of your Twitter so that people can tweet at you during the show.
All right, well, you can find me at Nerds Doing Stuff or my personal Twitter, which is Ye Old Nerd.
And the nerd that you are. I wish it wasn't so warm in here so everybody could see your Eeveelution scarf. Is he the newest one on there, too?
Yes.
Sylveon?
Yeah, they're remembered all on
it. There. And I am your host, the Internet's Soapbox Mark. You can follow me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark. This film, I'm not going to say this movie already. Damn it. Pokemon the First Movie is a film that is near and dear to our generation's heart. It is the first, is really the first exposure that anybody had to the anime film style that Japan is kind of used to, where every year there would be a film based on whatever popular anime there was. That's why One Piece has, like, I think they have 12 or 13. Bleach has 4 or 5. And we'll get to it when we talk about the director, how many actual Pokemon productions there are. But Pokemon the First Movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back, is one of the most bizarre titles to me. Because it's the first but Mewtwo's already back!
Yeah.
Where was he? Goodness gracious. Okay.
Automatically on the defense.
So, So, as we do here, we dissect the film adaptations of some of our favorite interactive media, and soon that mission statement might change. But we start off by giving what we call a speed run of the movie. That is a quick review, so a box quote, if you will. For an example, Mortal Kombat has a cheesy script, but nails the spirit of the game. Last week, Patrick, our friend who is missing in action, gave us a little bit longer than a box quote for Tomb Raider. But, Stacey, what is your speed run for Pokemon, the first movie Mewtwo Strikes Back?
All right, so Pokemon, the first movie, offered some colorful animation and beloved characters with absolutely zero character growth, no explanation for the plot, and repetitively yawn-worthy action sequences. It's obviously fine, though, since the movie literally retcons itself at the end. And Team Rocket's in it, so I don't even care.
That's interesting that you say that. Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of things that I want to talk about, you said in your speed run, but we'll get to that when when we break down the plot a little bit. For my speed run, is try to keep it short and sweet. By trying too hard to be a film for everyone, it succeeds at being the exact opposite.
Ouch.
It's a film for no one. From here, we have something that we like to call the controller toss moment. That's the moment when you watch the movie and you have a "you've got to be kidding me" moment. And with, as you mentioned, a film with Team Rocket, there are a couple of those. So we have an image up on the screen right now. This was one of my controller toss moments. This was the Viking scene with the awful, terrible, stereotypical Swedish accent. Which,
but look at Meowth on the front.
Okay, now I will say, Meowth as a masthead, pretty awesome.
It's wonderful.
And just the fact that they endangered Meowth in such a way, just what bullshit. There, it's a family show now.
Totally.
When you have three trainers riding on Pokemon who can adapt with the elements, who are like, "I ain't afraid of nothing," and Ash, just Squirtle, I need your help. Can you evolve into a Wartortle or something,
nah,
anything? The Viking scene started something for me, where Team Rocket began to be a little bit too much in this film, and you understand why the episodes are only 22 minutes long. What about you?
All right. I love Team Rocket. They have always been my favorite characters.
Yeah.
So I'm really emotionally attached to Team Rocket.
Or
I guess not Team Rocket, but Jesse and James. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably a little too much.
And Meowth.
And Meowth. Meowth, absolutely. But I don't know. Team Rocket was always fun to me.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the controller. I had a couple of controller toss moments throughout this film.
Oh, definitely.
Wasn't only. But I think the biggest one where I literally had to stop and kind of go, how did I just accept this as a child? How did I not walk out, like, at this moment? Was at the very end when Mewtwo's going to erase all their memories. Spoiler. No.
It doesn't matter.
We've all seen. And send them back to the island with no memories. But not only does he send them back to the city without their memories, mm-hmm. he literally goes back in time. And, I mean, now we're doing time travel as well as erasing their memories. I don't know.
He is the most powerful Pokemon in existence.
Okay, but then, yeah, so...
He's not Dialga or Palkia or any of the actual time-based Pokemon.
Right.
We're going to go there. I'm just saying it.
Wow.
I understand.
Well, no, because not only do we go back in time, but then it just opens up a whole new list of questions. Because not only... So they go back in time, and Ash, Misty, and Brock are there back on the city as well as the other three trainers. And then all of a sudden, Nurse Joy shows back up, who they were just talking about how she had been missing for, like, 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And no one questions her reappearance.
She's back. Cool.
So does he, like, go and erase that part of time too? Where does it end?
Mm-hmm.
It's very confusing.
He's all powerful. So, or I'm sorry, Mewtwo is all powerful. Don't know what. Actually, no, Mewtwo is genderless, so it doesn't matter. Don't know what. I mean, if you start to unravel plot inconsistencies with Pokemon, speaking of the Viking scene, you don't have to bring the picture up again. By God, you don't. Fact that they directly reference the Minnesota Vikings. In Kanto.
Yeah.
When this fictional, based on Japanese land.
I hit pause there and just kind of stared for that. I was like, did they?
I didn't think Vikings were around anymore. Well, most of them just live in Minnesota. And that's where, that was for the parents. And even the parents went, fuck you!
Well, I don't know. According to forums online, if you lived in Minnesota, you were pretty excited about that reference. So it was a good bone for Minnesota.
We got plussed up by Pokemon. We matter now. Not the actual history of the football team itself, but just the fact that...
Shout-out. You got
sweet
a shout-out on Pokemon.
I had a second controller toss mode. Oh, I mean, I had multiple, but I just wanted to make reference to it. The end of the film, and we're going to go into the plot discussion in order to talk about it.
The plot?
So... Mew and Mewtwo, the ultimate as of that moment, the two ultimate Pokemon beings in the universe, full blast fire at each other, and Ash doesn't, like, explode or anything. He turns to stone. Okay.
Logical. It's totally logical.
From there, I am okay with that, based on how everything that has been said. It's a children's movie, whatever. But after that, when the tears of all of the Pokemon and the friends, they bring Ash back from stone. That made me... This movie. I would throw my Game Boy out the window of a moving train.
Wow.
Not just throw my... Like, and Game Boys are expensive.
Game Boy.
Especially a classic Game
cargo.
Boy. It'd be able to handle it.
Well.
There's the one that survived a war and is in the Smithsonian.
That
or
is
in
true.
The Nintendo of America store in
yeah.
New York. So yeah, there's plenty, and we'll talk about it when we get to the break, when we get to the discussion, the plot discussion. But first, as a quick breakdown to the movie, in case you missed it, when a group of scientists are offered funding into genetic research, if they agree to try and clone the greatest Pokemon ever, Mew, the end result is a success, and Mewtwo is born. However, Mewtwo is bitter about his purpose in life and kills his masters. In order to become the greatest, he throws open a challenge to the world to battle him and his Pokemon. And what a badass. Look at that. Look at our guy right here, Mr. Mewtwo, which you can get at your local GameStop store for only $12.99. What a deal! Ultimate power in the universe. So there are a lot of cultural reasons why this movie was a success, at least financially. But
important differentiation.
Not critically. I will be 100% honest. This was a film. At the height of my Pokemon fandom, I was sitting there with my family. I fell asleep during this movie. As a child. Like, not even talking about now, where I was getting drowsy again at the same parts. But I fell asleep in the theater. I don't remember for how long. And mother of pearl! That, as a child who was at the height of Pokemon fandom, I couldn't believe it. I was like, why did I fall? I fell asleep in the damn Pokemon movie.
What happened?
What was the theater-going experience like for you as a kid?
I mean, I loved it. I really did. As a kid, and I mean, you know, now, 10-year-old me versus now me, it's a bit of a different story. I look at it, and I'm like, but then, you know, I still love it. In a way. But not because of its critical acclaim or its success as a movie. Just, it's Pokemon.
How tinted are your glasses when it comes to watching this?
Fully tinted.
I
can't see anything.
Just sweet shades. They're just
nothing.
They're those glasses you put on after going to the eye doctor where you just can't see a damn thing and it keeps light from entering your brain. I will say there is a lot of nostalgia for this film. For me too. I mean, the weirdest thing about this movie is it starts with an awesome message of nature versus science and where we fit cosmically in the universe. And then because it's a kids' movie, they had to
basically lose all of it.
Yes, they threw all of what they were building for. And again, yes, kids movie, understand. But they threw away everything that they were building for.
It does start off very strong with the kind of message that they're going for and the kind of ideas that they start to present. And then you get towards the end of the movie and you're like, okay, so all of that stuff at the beginning was completely unnecessary? We're not doing any of that?
Kind of. Like, I liked...
There's very little resolution on that front.
Mewtwo's backstory made him a very compelling character, where you understand where he came from. So when he makes certain decisions, you go, oh well, no wonder he's such a bad guy.
Right.
But if we got that maybe a little bit after, maybe it wouldn't have been as strong. So we see him waking up in the lab after seeing a glimpse of freedom, and Team Rocket scientists are just so, like, we did it. Like, not even, let's get the cage ready. Like, super, super seedy evil scientists would be.
Right.
And then we get Giovanni, the head of Team Rocket, who's like, dude, no, come on. Those guys were squares. Because I'm from Giovanni. The 70s.
Yeah.
And the sequence of him determining his greatest power and working for Team Rocket, I would like to see like an extra 30 minutes about that.
Yes, if they kind of built upon that and like, I don't know, if they kind of built up with his resentment and him figuring out like what was going on. I know as a whole, Giovanni was in the movie for what, 4 minutes? Tops?
About that.
Tops?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
He,
the big bad of Team Rocket and very little to do with this.
Seeing how he was in control of the strongest Pokemon in the world, use that.
That was the other thing. When Mewtwo was like, no, I don't want to do this, Giovanni, like, okay, bye.
You're like, okay,
later. That does not sound, like, yeah, that made no sense to me.
I would have loved to see the scene like the Japanese version, but the American is important because it resonates a little bit differently for specific jokes, Minnesota Vikings notwithstanding.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And some, Team Rocket.
James's one-liners are my favorite.
When we get to favorite lines, I've got one that was just, it burns. Ooh, it burns my soul. But seeing more of Team Rocket's involvement in why Mewtwo decided, or how Mewtwo determined that this wasn't how he wanted his life, probably would have been a little bit better. Probably would have been a little bit cooler.
Would have helped the build up, for sure.
And it would have made him a little bit more of an interesting character, but we've gotten that in further movies, further specials, further whatever. Games, even.
Right.
Not
the movie, though.
No, not this movie. I figured they wanted to cut it down because you're getting a lot of young kids in here, and they have short attention spans.
Right.
As evident by people who fall asleep in the theater self. But they could have taken a risk. It was Pokemon. This is a film where no matter what they did, aside from like graphic, maybe even PG-13 to rated R content, which they wouldn't do.
Well, I mean, he did murder all of the scientists on that facility within the first 10 minutes of the film.
It was implied, but they never showed any of them actually dying.
Okay, this is fair.
So, yeah.
It was still cold-blooded murder.
Oh, it was 100% murder. But if they showed, like, if they showed him working for Team Rocket, and, I mean, again, because it's a kid movie, they wouldn't be able to do it, so when we get mm-hmm. to recasting and, like, a modern version of it, that would be awesome. But if they had the ability to, instead of just lifting up that herd of Tauros, to, like, right. What if he accidentally makes them explode because he's that powerful?
Right, when he doesn't have control quite yet. Mm-hmm. It's like Giovanni straps him into this metal suit and he's perfectly in control. Like, and that's the resolution right there. Yeah, that was his learning arc.
And without... And he... like... So that was supposed to be his strongest form, but when he mm-hmm. takes it off, he forms this amazing island and perfect storm. And so what was the point of the suit? Who knows? Whatever. It's a kid's movie, but damn it, we're here on the internet complaining about it. And the big plot is he's trying to get as many Pokemon under his control as possible, so he holds an open tournament, and he sees Ash fighting this trainer, and for some reason seeing... Pikachu, and none of the battles make sense. None of the battles in the Pokemon series have made sense, maybe.
They didn't even follow the rules.
No! Like, the Pirates sent out three versus one.
Versus one that at wasn't the even same a, time! It was terrible.
That wasn't even a gimmick until, like, Diamond and Pearl. So, and, why are we even complaining about this?
It was a frustrating moment.
It was, but that was something when we talk a little bit more about cultural stuff that I was kind of looking forward to as a kid. But seeing... Such a, like, a non-important battle, and Mewtwo going, nope, that guy. I want
that's
that guy.
The one.
Him. Bring Joy, get him in here! Right away, damn it. So, our friends... Yeah. our friends go on a journey from... Oh, and a very rare Pokemon, too. A Dragonite just pops yes. up and is like, yo, here, tournament. Holy shit, a Dragonite!
Yeah, not, no. like...
None of that.
Well, Mewtwo doesn't even clone the Dragonite. He has a Dragonite.
He just has a Dragonite. Flipping weirdo.
It's very confusing. And he has, like, the Pharaoh under his control. There was no clone of that one either.
No.
I don't know. There was a lot of things that did not make sense.
And a lot of things that they didn't explain. Again, mm-hmm. just accepted it's a kid's movie. Yes. But never too far behind, our intrepid friends at Team Rocket are see this, have to be involved in a part of it. They start coming up with a harebrained scheme. And of all a sudden... We find out that Nurse Joy is missing. And so a weird part that's inconsistent with the films, but I became okay with when I was like, oh, this could be people's first time seeing Pokemon, and they don't know about the family of Jennies or the family of Joys. And Brock mm-hmm. just going, oh, she's really pretty. I was like, right. but you know Joy. Like, you know the Joys.
He says it every time.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. But just like, oh, she looks just as good as the other one. Or she he would always
some
have
kind of,
some
right,
kind of a
true.
Stupid, gross quip, because Brock's a really creepy character. Yeah. but we love him. So that was like, okay, whatever. But mm-hmm. then at the end of the movie, when it's like, oh, I've always loved the Jennies and the Joys. And stop. I'm telling that to myself. We end up getting four trainers on the island. One mostly a water type. One and two other that are very universal. Actual Pokemon teams as opposed to Ash's. I'm not going to let my friends evolve. Ash is the worst Pokemon
He's
trainer on
terrible.
That show.
Terrible. He's been how many years and he has, like, what, six Pokemon, maybe?
No. At this point...
Well, at this point,
he's got those Pokemon, I think Mr. Mime, Muk, and a herd of Tauros, I think at that point. But aside from that, those are his only Pokemon. At least he had Charizard for bloody sakes.
Charizard who doesn't listen.
And Charizard doesn't even listen at that point.
Yeah.
I will say, did you ever go and watch the episode where Charizard left? Where he let Charizard train with the other Charizards?
Yes.
That was sad.
There were a lot of sad moments in Pokemon.
That was like equal to Butterfree sad.
Butterfree was really sad.
Speaking of sad, this movie. Anyway. it
in a totally different way.
Yes. Completely different type of movie, this one. But it doesn't even turn into... It's not even a tournament. It's show up, I'm going to beat up all your Pokemon and then steal them and clone them and kill them and kill you because F humanity.
It happens very quickly.
It really... And despite being a... I've said it a lot today, including on Twitter. Despite being a 75-minute experience, Pokemon the first movie is so long. It's a very long movie.
It just kind of keeps going and then going some more.
It's the lack of action.
Well, right, because the same things just kind of keep on happening. Mm-hmm. And then we finally get to the point where they have an official Pokemon battle. But they don't even start that way.
No.
It's
a 3-on-3, but it's who's first?
Right.
And I'll just, and it, hmm. Yeah. Rules. Like, I think the thing is, the show established certain rules for what the world that they live in. And then it rewrote those rules. Yeah. I feel like I'm going way too far into a child's movie. But damn it, you wanted us to do Pokemon the first movie, and okay, here we are. So any highlights from the island?
From the island?
Yeah, because I mean, this is where the main crux of the show really happens. We got a lot of Team Rocket sneaking around and anticking.
Well, I'm always amused that Mew takes to Team Rocket.
Yeah, that was cute. And they didn't even know.
I don't know. I feel like I like that in the grand scheme of things, though.
I think
how they are received in general, but not in relation to the movie necessarily.
And speaking of Mew, that was another part of the story where we were introduced to Mew as the all-powerful being, mm-hmm. and it has the childlike wonder, which is something that is seen in several different movies with god characters, godlike characters, and. I think that was one of the big problems is seeing so many reflections from other movies, other better movies, mm-hmm. Hoping that this one could come through in a similar way. Might have been a little bit too much. I don't know.
The way Mew acted?
In terms of how the Mewtwo and Mew resolution came about.
Oh.
It was kind of pot calling the kettle. It was very Dragon Ball Z, well, let's all have a picnic now that everything's taken care of.
Magically all better.
Yeah, how many of the Pokemon movies have you seen? Is this the only one?
No, I'm less familiar with most of the other ones than this one, but I have seen almost all of them. I haven't seen some of the, like, way more recent ones.
Okay, I was going to say, because there's 19. Okay,
the ones that were coming out when I was still, like, in that Pokemon Prime.
Okay.
Like, a couple of years.
Like 5 or 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right, because there's a ton now, huh?
There's movies, there's OVAs, there's mm-hmm. shorts, there's the countless series that just keeps going. Satoshi Ash has not even gotten any sort of older, but that... There's a theory recently that came out that Ash is actually in a coma.
I've heard that theory.
That's why he never gets older.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
They have theories like that for pretty much all of the kids' shows that just try to ruin childhoods.
I don't know. The one about Edda and Eddie's pretty awesome.
Oh.
Where they're all kids from different time periods.
I enjoy that one.
That's a good one.
That one a lot. That's probably the only one I'll subscribe to.
Yeah. Headcanon accepted. Mm-hmm. So we get to this final battle. And it's the clones versus the originals. And you think, this is going to be a balls out, drag out. We got Pokemon of all different types, psychic, plant, water, dragon fighting. And we're just going to see solar beams going across, bullet seed hasn't been a thing yet, damn it. Vine whip, water gun, hydro pumps, all sorts of stuff. And it's like, no, I have disabled all of their abilities and go. Because I'm Mewtwo, brr. Do you think...
Just like that.
That's precise. Just that like was that. My impression.
Yeah.
I'm glad
it's
you
perfect.
Enjoyed it. How do you think that affected the... Like, this is the final climactic battle, and it's just a slap fight.
It's interesting how it changed it, because it made it way less dramatic as far as action is concerned, mm-hmm. but it also made it a little bit more personal as far as the characters going up against each other. Were concerned. It got really, really sad to see them just slapping at each other.
I think
repeatedly
for that, you could have taken away all of the surrounding Pokemon. You take mm-hmm. away all of Ash's extra Pokemon, Vulpix, all of the other trainers. Right. Because they're not, that's not who we care about,
right?
Technically. But if you have that, the final battle just be the two Pikachus, like that, that's one where Pikachu's like, I'm not gonna fight you, essentially. It's like, no, you have to. It's like, fine. And it's been immortalized in GIF form. But I think that would have been... So, like, that would have made the audience care a little bit more, as opposed to, poor Gyarados doesn't have any arms or legs, and they're just flopping into each other and biting at each other. But,
the Vulpix's fighting was pretty sad.
Yeah.
That was upsetting.
It was bad for the cuter ones. But seeing, like, the two Nidoqueens just, like, body slamming each other, it was like, alright, whatever. But, I think, for a modern film, that would be like a spectacle, like a Transformers. That'd be something you would see in the trailer.
It'd be
just
an
like
all-out.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
This and so Mewtwo learns the value of living your life as opposed to a predisposed like purpose. You have to live your life in order to find out what you're here for. And that's a nice message, but if it wasn't for the crying and Ash being turned to stone and just like who gives a shit kind of nature. But I will say that part of it was like, okay, as a kid was like, okay, that I can understand. But as an adult, it's just like, I can imagine me being in that crowd now going, what the hell's going
what
on?
What are you doing?
It's like, no, parents, get your kids out of this movie. They already got the free Pokemon card. Now leave. Really quick, in chat. I can't read. Ruthie Henshaw fan 99. Wigglytuff is in this movie, so I like this movie. I'm with
Fair.
You there.
All right.
The whole Puff Tuff line, I'm a big fan of. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. I'll go off of that. What was your favorite Pokemon to see in this movie?
My favorite Pokemon to see in this movie. Oh gosh. I think it's got to be Vulpix, to be quite honest.
Vulpix has always been one of the cutest Pokemon.
It's so cute. Mm-hmm.
I'm always just a big fan of Blastoise.
Blastoise
is cool. I was like, yeah, so a smart trainer actually evolved the Pokemon. Cool.
Yeah. Well, the other two trainers evolved their Pokemon. Mm-hmm.
Completely. And really
and
quickly.
And gave them silly nicknames.
And gave them Shell Shocker.
Root.
Yeah, Root.
Root, it's great.
You know what? You should probably go to the Name Raider, just redo it. Probably wouldn't rate it very much.
I don't want to talk, but.
One of the things that made me want to see the movie a lot was there was a short in front of it, Pikachu's Vacation.
Yes.
But we've got a preview of new Pokemon, and that was Meryl, Snubbull, and Donphan. And Donphan from this movie has always been one of my favorite Pokemon.
Donphan was cool to see. Mm-hmm. That was exciting.
And
there was a big hype around that.
It's like, new Pokemon? This was still going off of Red and Blue.
Oh,
we didn't even get to Gold and Silver yet. That was the amazing thing.
Oh, yeah. It was a big deal.
So, and here's going to be the amazing part. So, this movie was directed by Kunihiko Yuyama, or Yuyama Kunihiko, depending on how you do that. He has worked on countless animated projects, 39 Pokemon production and director credits alone. That's TV show, that's movie, that's OVA, that's Japan, that's America, that's everything.
Across the board.
If this is the Pokemon director, this guy right here, and Pokemon's really the most notable thing, but just going over a couple of other projects, Star Blazers, Bravery Dean, Magical Princess, Mickey Momo, Aramis's Adventure, Yushio and Tora, there's probably going to be something on Otaku Movie Anatomy covered by this gentleman. I should have had one of them in. That was a foolish choice by me. But yeah, this guy, hell of a director, and for how much Pokemon there was, hell of a job overseeing this project, and cheers to him. In terms of cultural impact, actually no, let's go to game feel. So this is where we talk about how similar to the game it ends up being. We touched on it a little bit, but the Pokemon series has always kind of been Pokemon-ish, really.
Yes.
The characters are in it.
Mm-hmm.
They have battles. But I have never been in a Pokemon game, an official Pokemon game, where I can move and do stuff like in those battles.
Oh, no.
So seeing only a couple, like, really the battle in front with the pirate guy is the only, like, actual battle that we see in the movie. How would you describe this Pokemon, the first movie, Mewtwo's Revenge, no, Mewtwo Strikes Back, just shut up, brain, to the original Pokemon games?
I mean, as far as gameplay goes, there are pretty few similarities there, really. As I mean, they still kind of follow the shout-out in order, and the Pokemon does it, but in the movies, and I mean, I get at the time, you couldn't quite have that much freedom when you're battling in the game.
No, definitely.
But, I mean, it seemed like, and throughout the movie and the shows, the Pokemon had a lot more freedom of when they use their attacks, when they interact, a little more interaction.
Being able to dodge.
Right. Things that you don't really get. Well, that you definitely don't get in Red and Blue.
Yeah, you don't have active control over. Sometimes you do get, oh, their attack missed. I don't know ratios. That was before IV training.
Yes, and now, I mean, now there's a little bit more if you're close with your Pokemon, sometimes they'll dodge attacks, you know, for your sake, or they'll get better at that kind of thing. But back when this was, you know, just coming out, that really wasn't incorporated at all.
I do like the nod when Mewtwo's getting ready for battle, when he says, like most Pokemon trainers, I also started with Squirtle,
right.
Charmander, and Bulbasaur, and then brought up the evolved forms. That was cute. And speaking of Team Rocket, when they were seeing all of the Pokemon roll through, and it was a Scyther, and they said, Alakazam. Now, that could just be them being stupid, and that's what I end up chalking it up to, but it's like, they may have lost the file. They may have lost the Scyther file. Whatever. Oh, that was another thing. Seeing the Scyther actually, like, sword fight, kind of, with their arms.
I enjoyed that a lot.
That was kind of cool.
That was great.
There isn't... The only thing that I would say is similar to the Pokemon games when it comes to this series and this movie is the adventure aspect. Is we're going to all these new towns. Right. We're surprised there's a new trainer. Mm-hmm. And that where you're... You never know where you might be, but there might be a new trainer running up. Exclamation point. And you're good. You have to battle now.
Yeah.
And you get to see there's back before the internet, before you knew all of the Pokemon, before the game came out, it was... Mm-hmm. I don't know what this Pokemon is. How am I going to handle myself? And that's what Donphan was, at least. We got a little bit of... we got a couple of moves from him, but not too much. Pikachu's magical lightning... That was Solar Beam. Oh, God. Were you calling out moves during this movie, too?
I was.
Yeah.
I
was calling out Mewtwo's and Mews. It was too fun. It was too fun. So, yeah, Pokemon, the first movie and the whole series, not really... too similar to the actual Pokemon franchise. But the one thing I will say is it's become circular. The Pokemon franchise, the Pokemon animation franchise has definitely influenced the Pokemon games. Like right here, even with this amiibo and this character from Mewtwo from Smash Brothers, any Mewtwo that has existed after this movie has had all of those similarities and traits that have been established in the movie. So that's really cool. That I do like, and that's a type of impactful thing that you can pull from it. And also Pikachu. The character of Pikachu has changed so much from just a random character to the mascot of the whole damn thing.
Right. Yeah, if you need one Pokemon, it's Pikachu. And even if you're not familiar with Pokemon, most people know Pikachu.
At the Macy's Day Parade, Pikachu keeps getting new balloons. And Pikachu has become an icon, which is weird to think of a little electric rodent. Do you catch Pikachu in any of the new games?
Yeah, I usually end up with a Pikachu. Mm-hmm. It's not like a highlight of my training, but...
You weren't buying their new electric rodents like a Pachirisu or Deden any of the other electric rodents that they've been trying to make?
I have one electric type, and no matter what, you know... I'm set on that front.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Ampharos is my, like, best.
If it wasn't for Mega Ampharos, I probably would skip it. But Ampharos, whole Mareep line, I like that. I like Luxray. I like Zebstrika. We're talking too much, but this is part of the reason why I want to do this movie is, like, yeah, it's bad that I if you gave me enough time, I probably could sit down and name all of the Pokemon up to date.
Yeah.
In the later generations, like the Black 2, White 2.
I get a little off there.
Yeah, me too.
I can still do the first 151. Not doing that right now.
No, we're not. We don't have enough time. But challenge. Poker rap. Send us your best poker rap video. Hashtag VGM Anatomy. So I want to talk a little bit about, I mean, we've been talking about it throughout, but the cultural impact of this film. Mm-hmm. It grossed a total box office of $193 million between the U.S. and Japan. Japan's was $30 million, or $3 billion yen, which equals out to $30 million. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. was $163 million. And I didn't know this, but in 2013, they released an HD remaster.
Yes.
I had no idea, and I mm-hmm. wish that was the version that I could find, but me I too. Couldn't damn find it.
Really?
Clean up that animation, because from some mm-hmm. of the stuff that you saw, and those were, like, direct high def, as high quality high as def. It could get for the copy that I bought, screenshots. So, but hey, you gotta cut corners in animation. Another fun note, it held the record of the highest grossing November weekend for an animated film, which would be broken 2 weeks later by Toy Story 2. I mean, hell of a competitor to get a record broken.
You know,
yeah,
to be, if you have to be taken out, that's probably an acceptable one to be taken out by.
Somebody loves. Okay, and the American dub of the film received negative reviews from film critics, but it was well received by audiences, which we discussed.
We all love Pokemon.
Yeah, because it was just
so much.
It was at a time kind of like how Star Wars is now, where everybody's mm-hmm. just like, give me Pokemon everything. Anything Pokemon. I'll eat a disgusting burger. That's not true. I'll eat a burger from Burger King just to get a golden Mewtwo in a Pokeball. I don't give a damn.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to talk about how many of those I have.
I would like to talk about how many of those you have, but we won't.
Good. That's good.
Audiences other than children will find very little to entertain them. And on Metacritic, the film has a weighted average score of 35 out of 100 based on 25 reviews, meaning generally unfavorable. So, is the overall consensus. Right. As much as it sounds like I'm poo-pooing this movie, it still holds a very near and dear place in my heart.
Oh, absolutely.
So before we get...
Can't bring myself to hate it.
So before we get into recasting, we're going to talk about our favorite line. So talking about Team Rocket, they had a couple of doozies in here.
I have a feeling one of my favorites is one of your doozies.
So I wanted to pick just one or we'd be here for a while. So I'll say mine first. And this comes from James of Team Rocket near the end of the film. I was prepared for trouble, but not for this. Come on!
It's great.
Toss the Game Boy. Toss the GameCube. Just, where's Shigeru Miyamoto? Toss him. Just, you're done. Yeah, so that was my favorite line.
That's a good line.
Because it was awful. I picked king awful line.
Okay, so my king awful but also amazing line.
No. You go your favorite. Gotta
oh,
go
no,
favorite.
This is it. It was terrible and wonderful all right. At once. It is also by James, because of course it is. So it's after Pikachu and the pirate trainer have their battle on the beach.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
God.
He's watching, and everyone's like, so, like, there's some good, Missy's like, that sure was a shocking ending, and then just all of a sudden it goes over to Team Rocket, and James goes, there's another credit on Pikachu's charge account.
Damn it, I knew it was gonna be that.
Beautiful.
So stupid.
It's so stupid, and so good.
And, like, I would like to, if anything, I would like to get those voice actors and sit them down and go, how long did recording sessions take? Because you were just, you were just like, what the hell is this? Or when did you accept and go, all right, I'm going to do this as best as I can? Because both Jesse and James, when they first started out, were badass characters.
Oh, yeah.
And then they went straight up goofy Three Stooges.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any others? I didn't want to cut you off.
Well, there was one, it was a kind of the series of lines that mm-hmm. Kind of a reference to the show that I appreciated that was one of the lines was when Meowth gets sucked up into the machine and he's being x-rayed and his silhouette comes up on the screen. Like,
who's that Pokemon? It's Pikachu!
It's always Pikachu. No matter what.
But that like, that's fine. That's fun. Yeah. But they did it again. They did it a second time.
Oh, and then they kept doing it.
And it's
yeah.
like, stop!
It's like, okay, once was nice. And then also we just took it too far.
Prepare for trouble. And make it double. We no time for that right now. It's like no, like
there's always time for the Team Rocket motto.
It was happening. It was happening, and I went, okay. You got to get it in early. You got to get it in once. Yeah. And then when it was cut off, I was like, no, I was accepting.
I was accepting of this.
God damn it. So Gregory in the chat posted Mewtwo's exact quote. I see now that the circumstances of one's birth are irrelevant. It is what you do with the gift of life that determines who you are. That's deep shit from you two.
And that's the thing. It kind of echoes that deep ideology that they start going into at the beginning. Yeah. And it's like they tried to throw it in at the end too, but we didn't really have the build up to it that we needed. It was a really good line. Mm-hmm. It was a solid line and it had a lot of impact, but
the build up, like it, the movie did like this and then it started
going
back up.
And then it just tried. Yeah. Yeah, tried to go straight back up.
Tried too hard to go back to like a sophisticated route. If you mm-hmm. want, if you want a good story about like the and they didn't even mention it because it was a stupid plot point, the crying. If you want a good if you want to see a good a short about crying, watch The Ballad of Nessie. Watch Disney's Ballad of Nessie because it's an awesome short that talks about the importance of crying and how important and impactful that can be. And it's just a nicer message put in a better way. And Billy right. Connolly does the narration, so it's bloody brilliant. So those were our favorite lines, in a manner of speaking. Now we get to a really fun part. I started serious, got a little silly, and then went back to serious a little bit. And this is just set up. This isn't an actual announcement. They decided they're going to make Pokemon the first movie live action. And we have our characters. We have our cast. We've got Ash, Misty, Brock, Mewtwo, and Team Rocket. Who would you cast in these roles, starting with Ash?
Starting with Ash. So I kind of kept up the tradition of having a female voice, Ash, because he's got such a high pitch.
For a live action?
For a live action?
Yeah, for a live action.
Oh my!
Do we screw up? Damn it!
I'm sorry.
That's my bad. Let's go with that though. Anyway, let's do so. They're remaking it, and we've got a voice cast, and we've got a live action cast running with it.
All right, I'll think of my live action as we
That's
go.
Fine.
I put Caitlin Glass for the animated voice.
Okay. No. Yeah, I see that.
She's kind of got that feel. Mm-hmm. I think
Ash is kind of a standard type. Well, he became Ash's voice became a standard, and little do people know that it's changed several times over the years.
Oh, yeah. The first time it changed, people had a fit. There were petitions.
It sounds kind of different, but is mostly the same, mm-hmm. which is just to let people do their jobs. It's a job, people. Goodness gracious. Okay. So why don't we run down animated list, and then we'll run down a live action list.
Okay.
So go ahead and continue with Misty.
What's funny, my Ash, Misty, and Brock are the ones that would have to be animated. The rest could be the live action.
I'll be down.
So Misty Shirami Lee.
What is she on?
She mostly does like anime dubs. Mm-hmm. She's Sailor Venus in the upcoming Crystal.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
She's kind of got that high pitched, fun, you know, like frantic voice that Misty gets sometimes.
I'm down with that.
I guess Brock could be live action too. Carlos Valdez.
What is he on?
Flash.
Cisco? Yes. Okay.
My Brock.
I like that. I don't know why I wrote it down for Brock, but for the first one, just because I thought it would be a silly image to see this person in a green shirt and an orange vest, John Cena. I don't know why. I don't know why, but I was like, it's got to be like kind of a bigger build, kind of a silly fellow.
That's wonderful.
John Cena, why not?
Wonderful.
But I peeled that back. Okay. I brought it back.
All right.
And I went Josh Hutcherson from Hunger Games.
For Brock. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He's got a likable face, and mm-hmm. and I think he can go a little bit silly. So why not?
Right. Okay.
And then circling back around for Misty, I don't know why, but I think that this will work for the sass factor. That needs to be a shirt. Emma Stone.
For Misty. You know what? That was who just came to mind before you said her. Yeah.
Boom.
That's a good one.
Nailed it.
I agree on Misty.
And for Ash, I figure they would want to cast a newbie, somebody who's relatively up and coming, but
okay.
Somebody who already has a big franchise under their belt, Asa Butterfield.
that would have been mine as well.
Boom!
Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay, so now we're getting into Mewtwo. I have a feeling, either way, I think we're both, it will be hard not to mess this up. But who do you got for Mewtwo?
Now I'm worried.
No, you're good.
All right, well, I put Bryan Cranston.
Holy shit, okay. Hold on, let me bring that quote. I see now that the circuit, like, I can't. Yeah, no.
Like, if we went real dark
with an
updated movie version.
I like it. I can't. Right. Ooh, that would. Hey, man, he did Power Rangers, so I don't think this would be out of his wheelhouse. But I went Idris Elba.
Oh, that's so good.
He's got the regal and the power. He's just got raw power in his voice. Even these Rainbow Six Siege commercials that he's doing are just like, I listen to everything that you have to say.
Oh, yeah. He starts talking and you're there.
Dude, Home Invasion, all about it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got for Team Rocket?
Okay, so I have two for Team Rocket because I could not decide. So one is my kind of silly, but it would be incredible.
I've got the both all of those too.
So it's Amy Poehler and Tina Fey.
Yes. All right. Well, which one's which?
I think Amy Poehler would be James and Tina Fey would be Jesse.
We need Photoshop. We need somebody, right now, please. Somebody Photoshop that. I like that a lot, but that's dreaming big.
Oh, it's absolutely ridiculous. Big. Man. It sounded too fun to pass up.
My silly ones.
All right.
And it's not super silly, but it's something that I don't know if they would ever do.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, oh, that would be fun. JGL for James. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is James, because I think he could have fun with the silliness of that.
Right.
And Jennifer Lawrence for Jesse.
Oh, that's great.
Because I think they both have a silly side that they haven't really had a chance to really do too much in films.
Right.
So this could be like, oh, no, yeah, I'll do that. I get a chance to really just screw around and F around with a cartoon cat. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
And what were your serious ones?
So my more serious, I had, Zach Braff for James, and then Katie Sagal as Jesse.
That's a hell of an age gap, but I'm down.
Yeah, well, it was for voices, but still.
No, both of those, Yeah. That'd be, but Katie Sagal has the background with, not just her animated characters, but with Sons of Anarchy right now. She would bring such badass to that.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Okay. So I went Eddie Redmayne for James.
Oh,
and I think he could do that. He would do that really fun. Because he could
do a great job with that.
All different types.
Mm-hmm.
And for Jesse, I wanted to go full power, full raw, unadulterated. I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. Gwendolyn Christie. Because I think her and Redmayne would make an awesome team.
That would be a really interesting
matchup.
And
she would just be super badass and then go for the silly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially with Phasma and Game of Thrones and all of the stuff that she's been in recently.
She's got the power behind her.
Dude,
absolutely.
I wouldn't want to open up my Pokemon around her. She'd just snatch them. Snap them edges. Pokemon edges. So those were our, albeit scattered, and that was my fault for not being super clear on that. But if you have any casting ideas for either live action or voices, let us know with the hashtag VGM Anatomy or leave a comment down on the video. So, final thoughts. Pokemon the first movie.
I have one more.
Oh, you do?
I do. I did Meowth, too.
Oh, you did Meowth.
I did
Silly
Meowth.
Biscuit. Silly Biscuit. Go ahead.
So, Aziz Ansari as Meowth.
Deal, Pikachu.
Right?
Meowth, 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 Randy.
Just go full ridiculous and just go.
I was going to say Danny DeVito or like Charlie Day, but jeez. No, I want to. That's another Photoshop we need. We need Aziz as Meowth, just a little coin on his head.
Oh, God.
Randy, okay. So now, if you have any extra casting things that you want to let us know, leave a comment down below or with the hashtag VGM Anatomy. And tag us. We're going to let give our Twitter accounts at the end of the show again. But before we get that, final thoughts on Pokemon the first movie.
It really was objectively terrible watching it as an adult, like even with more Pokemon history behind us now. I had a really hard time bringing myself to hate any part of it until we got to the weird time travel thing at the end.
Yeah.
That was what kind of made me start going, oh no, this is actually terrible. This is bad. I have to look at it that way.
That was the moment.
No, I could handle all of the horrific one-liners, the bad sound effects, the lack of plot. It's just...
I like how at the very end, that's where Pokemon falls apart.
That was the suspension of disbelief that I could not achieve.
Memory altering, like we're getting into Kingdom Hearts levels of confusion. Oh, sorry,
all over the place.
Sick burn. But this film is one that will live on in all of our hearts as our first real love for this franchise and something that made us love the franchise even more. Best thing to do. Don't watch it again. Let it live in your heart. If you really want to go back and watch it, at least get the HD version because it's a lot better, a lot cleaner. So now we know that the Pokemon movie franchise is ongoing. They're releasing a new movie, I think, this next...
Just always.
In this next month or
constantly.
Maybe... I don't think I think they've been doing a Pokemon movie every year since this one, which is, as we mentioned before, it's kind of common with anime movies. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But... For Pokemon, the first movie, screw it. Pokemon as a franchise in general, do you want to see it keep going and evolving, maybe into live action, maybe into like a Miyazaki, like, good movie? Or are we done with Pokemon movies? Game over.
You know, I feel like between the TV shows and the movies, they were really strong for a while. Mm-hmm. And now they're still going, and I don't understand how they're still going. And maybe it's because I've passed that little golden age where Pokemon TV is great and watching the movies is wonderful. But unless we morphed into live action or some completely new format and kind of went back a little bit to the beginning, mm-hmm. then I would say let's give the Pokemon TV show and movies a break.
Let it rest. Let's see a new, like, it. the animated shorts with Red as opposed to Ash. Was a new type of cartoon. Let's see that go. Let's see a Red movie. I think the only way that the current Pokemon franchise has any life is in live action.
Moving into a new format, kind of growing another step.
Right now, everything is just nostalgia. It's straight up nostalgia, and they're looking for any sort of a property that they can. And Pokemon, if they get the CG right, then I think people will flock to the movie theater.
Oh.
Because this is what people have been wanting since this movie, is a live-action one.
Yeah, you have Pokemon, now you want to see Pokemon in real life. I mean, that's what... When Pokemon Go was announced, people lost it.
Even people who aren't huge Pokemon fans.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, that sounds great.
Yeah, because, I mean, as children, you start wanting Pokemon in real life. Mm-hmm. And so now, like, the idea of having closer to real life Pokemon is extremely appealing to a huge audience. So seeing live action Pokemon would not only be super appealing to people who grew up with it, but also really cool and really badass for people who may not be as interested in it.
You think that's something that Weta might do? We might see Peter Jackson's Pokemon.
I'm still mad at Peter Jackson. So
all
maybe
right,
not Peter Jackson, but yes. Weta,
that in general,
that. They would do a great job with it.
So the only extra life. I would say extra life support. Put this in live action with the right crew behind it, and you will have yourself a successful movie. Maybe not a great movie, but the Transformers series aren't great movies, but they're successful.
They're successful.
So there is that. All right. So, Miss Stacy Shuttleworth, Mrs. Stacy Shuttleworth, excuse me. Still trying to get used to it. Congratulations again. Let the folks at home know where they can find you.
All right. Well, I am usually on Twitter, crying about one TV show or another under Nerds Doing Stuff. Lots of cosplay projects and stuff there too. No Pokemon yet. Or at Ye Olde Nerd. And that's where you'll find me.
Perfect. You can find me on Twitter at SoapboxMark. A whole bunch of stuff going on at the network this week. Just did Jedi Alliance episode 66. So we talked about Order 66. It was a fun show. We got the movie coming up soon, so that's ramping up. Moonbeam City on Wednesday. That is, we're going to have the creator of the show in the studio. And then Thursday is Ruby. If you're a fan of Rooster Teeth content, we are going to have Lindsay Jones and Barbara Dunkelman. Not in studio, but on Skype, but they're going to be calling in, and we're going to be talking a whole bunch about what's happening in the world of Remnant. So, make sure, also, next time we meet, 2 weeks, because it's Christmas and we're nice to ourselves, we wanted to reward ourselves with a good movie. And you might be thinking, there aren't too many good video game movies, but we decided to cheat a little bit. Action Movie Anatomy does it too. Wreck-It Ralph. We are going to be watching Wreck-It Ralph in 2 weeks. So, if you haven't seen Wreck-It Ralph, you're dumb.
You should see it.
You should see it. I'm kidding. You're not dumb. Do yourself a favor and see it. We're going
to
be covering the film in 2 weeks. Patrick will be back. It'll be the week before Star Wars, so I'll be going probably crazy. But for Stacey Shuttleworth, for Patrick Dees, for everybody at Popcorn Talk, we'll see you next time.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.